A few weeks ago, we looked at three exhortations in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Exhortations that are well known for several things: their brevity, their timelessness, their common application to believers, and their compelling nature. We ought to do these things. We want to obey these injunctions, but we cannot really complete them. They are to be both activities and characteristics of our lives. And we are to continue, as those verses tell us, to be joyful, to be prayerful, and to be grateful. This evening, I'd like to consider the very next verse. So if you haven't already turned to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, looking at another brief verse, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. One commentator wrote concerning this passage, "A man has no more religion than he intends to have. He has no graces of the Spirit which he does not seek." The idea there is that not only do we have to be active in pursuing the truth, pursuing the Lord who will give us truth, but we have to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit and certainly not quench Him and His ministry. It is certainly true that salvation itself and all of its graces is not man's idea. It's not of his making. It is God's gift, and undeserving sinners, when they repent of their sin and believe that Jesus died and rose again, according to the Scriptures, they receive that gift. But although salvation is God's gracious work for helpless sinners, as we are, those sinners must appropriate that salvation for themselves. God does not force His saving grace on anyone against that person's will. We are saved by His grace, certainly, but it is through our faith. And after we're born again, the Christian must live a life. And how each person lives a redeemed life depends in large measure on his or her response to the person and work of the Holy Spirit. When God justifies a repentant sinner, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in that person's body and begins a ministry to him and through him that lasts for the rest of his earthly life. And the work of the Spirit has many facets, and this is really not the burden of my challenge this evening, but it's just a reminder of what the Scripture teaches us about the Holy Spirit's work within us and in our behalf. This many-faceted work of the Spirit we can describe perhaps this way. He regenerates sinners. He also baptizes them into the body of Christ, that spiritual body. He convicts them of sin. He intercedes for them. He teaches, He guides, He strengthens, He assures them. He gives each of them or one or more spiritual gifts for others' good as they can minister to the body of Christ. He seals them to the day of redemption. He illuminates them to the truths of Scripture, and He enables them to live to the glory of God. Now, every one of those we should be meditating on sometime and realizing the treasure of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us. And of course, once a person does that, he will never violate this injunction to not quench the Spirit of God. The Spirit patiently cares for God's children. He quietly urges them to righteous living. He gently persuades them to love and to trust God. He lovingly convinces them that God's promises are always true. And he kindly shows them that God's ways are good and his intentions are always to their eternal benefit. He is, we might say, the strong and yet tender embrace of God. God is trying to show us how much he loves us. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit is very much a part, I believe, of that revelation from God concerning that love. One hymn writer put it this way: O breath of love, come breathe within us, renewing thought and will and heart. Come, love of Christ, afresh to win us. Revive thy church in every part. The quenching here could be understood in maybe different ways. It could be to smother, to douse, to stifle, or to turn away. The Spirit of God is tender in his ministry to us. I think this is shown, it's illustrated, Jesus' baptism. When John baptized the Lord, he testified, John records this, that the Spirit of God came upon Jesus in the form of a dove, a visible indicator that he has this characteristic of gentleness. And this thought is picked up by Isaac Watts 300 years ago, with a very familiar verse of a song. He writes, "Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours." And we certainly need that ministry constantly as the Spirit of God works on our behalf. So this heavenly dove, as he's referred to in this hymn, did not come as an eagle or a hawk. He didn't have claws. He didn't have a curved beak to tear flesh. He's a dove. The Holy Spirit does not compel. He doesn't intimidate. He doesn't frighten. As a matter of fact, like a dove in the animal world, he is gentle. He's quietly persistent, and he can be offended. A person can passively ignore the Spirit or actively drive him away if he doesn't want his ministries. And Christians are warned, in fact, in Ephesians 4, not to grieve the Spirit. And the writer of Hebrews warned that a person can sin in such a way that he insults the Spirit of grace, a warning that should keep us far away from anything that would ever lead to that. Our present text in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 exhorts us not to quench the Holy Spirit. Don't extinguish this sacred flame, as it were, that he kindles within us. Don't stifle his still small voice that he speaks to us with. Don't ignore his ministry to our souls. When he speaks, we're to listen. We're not to ignore or question him. When he convicts of sin, we are to respond with repentance. We're not to delay confessing sin or hope that he'll stop dealing with our spiritual need. And when the Spirit moves in our hearts to direct us in serving Christ, we should respond immediately and respond in faith and obedience. We're not to stifle his leading us in the will of God. Jesus called the Spirit of God in John chapter 14 and 16 our Comforter. Older English word right out of Latin, but it means our helper, someone who strengthens us. And he is this breath of God, as it were. He has breathed new life into us. We think of Adam being created by God, and he formed his body of the dust of the ground, but then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul different from every other creature that God had ever made. And so in a sense, in a spiritual way, the Holy Spirit regenerates hell-bound sinners and gives them new life. We're born again. And so this breath, however, is ours not just one time, but he breathes into us this life as we seek to honor God day by day. We need to love what God loves. We need to do what he wants us to do. We need the Spirit to descend upon our heart and wean it from earth. We need him to teach us the struggles of the soul to bear. We need him to check the rising doubt and the rebel sigh as the song goes on. And we need him to patiently help us wait for God to answer prayer in his time and in his way. There's an older hymn. I don't know if I've ever seen it, for I was searching around a little bit for some references to the Spirit. It's from the 19th century. Thy Holy Spirit, Lord, alone can turn our hearts from sin. His power alone can sanctify and keep us pure within. Thy Spirit, Lord, alone can deeper love inspire. His power alone within our souls can light the sacred fire. Thy Holy Spirit, Lord, can bring the gifts we seek in prayer. His voice can words of comfort speak and still each wave of care. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is amazing. It's multiplex. It is necessary. It's wonderful. And indeed, the Comforter has come. Jesus kept his promise. He did send this other helper to his people to be with them and to be in them. This breath of God breathes into us new life. And he whispers God's assurance to us when dangers are near and when sometimes it seems that desires are far away. And as we fellowship this evening and as we pray, let's remember both the nature and the ministries of the Holy Spirit of God. Dove-like, powerful, yet quietly persuasive, brooding over us, ministering to us, seeking our good. Quench not the Spirit. Let's pray together. Our Father, we don't know really how to thank you enough for all the things that you have given to us, the ways you have worked on our behalf, just revealing the truth to us and drawing us to the Savior, but ministering to us through the Holy Spirit, giving us life and giving us the way to live as we seek to serve you. We pray that you'll bless and help us to be open to that ministry of your precious Holy Spirit this evening as we pray, knowing he intercedes on our behalf and that he is our friend as we come to you in prayer. We ask that you'll bless now with these truths, help us to draw near to you through them, be more aware of what you are doing in our lives each day. For Jesus' sake, amen.